Okay, would you open your Bible to Exodus chapter 30? Exodus chapter 30. If we are not worshiping one true living God, then we will, I guarantee you, we will worship an imagination of our own or someone else's. Men are made that way. And the problem with the false God is that it cannot hear us, it cannot see us, it cannot be aware of us, and it cannot do anything for us. Satan wants us to be that way. Satan, as long as we have someone in place of God, he's fine with that. He will just let us have it, go to town with it. Good reason, that is the reason for the religion. Am I saying that religion is not a good thing? Exactly. Religion sent more people to hell than any other things. Do you hear me? They think that they are safe and they end up in hell because they do not have Jesus Christ in their heart. If you meet some of the Mormons, some of the Jehovah's Witness people, those people are very sincere and they are staunch and they are what they believe. But they are sincerely wrong. So it is important to believe the right God. But the true, see, contrary to our imaginative gods, our God, true living God, sees us. He knows us intimately. There is another thing that he does not know, and he cares about us deeply, and he hears us. Have you ever talked with somebody who looking at you, pretended they are listening, but they are not really listening? But our God, soon as we open our mouths to pray, he is all ears. He loves us more than we can possibly imagine. Somehow we tend to think that worshiping God stops when the music stops. Is it true? Our life should be a worship of our God. When we walk out of the church, we still worship God in our lives. When we talk with the unbelievers, we still worship God. We worship our God in our living, in our giving, and in our thought every day, all day. To really worship the Lord, we must, I repeat, we must ignore our own pride and self-image, but submerge into his presence. Without that, we really cannot experience a true worship of God. What am I talking about? And you may think that, well, I cannot worship God with the hands lifted up because I'm coming from background of a Baptist church. Did God make a Baptist denomination? Did God make a Calvary Chapel denomination? No. There's only one denomination. It's a Christian. Who made a denomination? There's people. No, John the Baptist didn't start the Baptist denomination. We did. Human did. Because the way we act, if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to start my own denomination. That's how we started. As long as the pastor Chuck Smith was alive, there was one Calvary Chapel. Soon as he passed away, splitting it too. Folks, we need to stay away from the self-image and the pride to worship our one true God. Without that, we really cannot experience the true worship of God. Chapters 30 and 31 are the great worship chapters. Let's learn how the rest of the tabernacle articles are connected with worshiping the one true God. Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for being who you are and for being good to us. Though we often miserably fail you, not even funny. You redeemed us from the hands of our enemy through your Son, Jesus Christ. Because of all these great things, we sing and give praise to you. Indeed, you are worthy, O Lord. So we exalt your name high above all things. Now we prepare our heart Father, we are asking you to give us insight so that we may worship you with our heart and mind and soul and strength and exalt you. Father, we pray against this COVID virus. Father, we pray that you remove this COVID and the deception that caused by through this COVID. Father, we pray for the salvation of the Biden administration. They are more than willing to kill babies, not just in the United States and other countries as well. Father, we pray that you speak to them, you convict them in such a way that they may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and turn away from their sins and come to know you. Father, now we pray for your protective hands upon our troops and our law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Father, we ask you to protect them and you stand strong with them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 30, we have a lot to cover. You shall make an altar to burn incense on it, and you shall make of it of the acacia wood. And a cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its width. It shall be squared, and 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horn shall be in one place, one piece with it. And you shall overlay its top, its side, and all around. Its horn with the pure gold. And you shall make for it the molding of gold all around. And 2 gold things you shall make for it. Under the gold molding of the, on both its side, you shall place them on the two sides. You shall, they will be holders for the poles with which to bear it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with the gold. And you shall put it before the veil, before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn on it the sweet incense every morning. When he tend the lamp, he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamp at twilight, he shall burn incense on it. The perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or burnt offering, or grain offering, and nor shall you pour the drink offering on it. Stop there for a moment, please. It said that strange incense and the burnt offering and so on. Remember the Aaron's son, Nadab Abihu. And they were 2 priests, were they not? Later they got drunk. And then they offered a strange offering, strange fire. What did God do? Kill them on the spot. It's a good thing God doesn't do that. There will be a lot of dead pastors around. Verse 10. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon its horn once a year with the blood of sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generation. It is most holy to the Lord. Stop there, please. Incense altar of incense or incense altar was made of the acacia wood. Would you put the picture up? Thank you. And overlaid with gold. It is 18 square inches and 3 feet high. It's taller than table of showbread and the lampstand in the holy place. I take it back, not lampstand, because we don't know the size of the lampstand. As we already have learned, the wood represent what? The humanity. Gold represent the deity. So the altar of incense, the altar of incense represent our Lord Jesus Christ. The burning of incense, however, represent our prayer. Our prayer that alone does not work. We need Holy Spirit to help us. What do I mean? Keep your finger in Exodus. Go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans 8. Verse 26, please. It reads, likewise, the Spirit also makes our weaknesses. Help us in our weaknesses. So For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with a groaning which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. Now he who searches, I want you to note that, write the word there. Now he, that is the Father, God the Father, who searches the hearts of, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he make, this time is a Spirit, makes intercession for the saint according to the will of God. Have you ever had a situation you are in such a dire situation or really bad circumstance? So you cannot really come up with the right vocabulary. You know the 20,000 word or 30,000 word, but you cannot fathom the coming up with the right word. So you, all you can say is, oh, God. Have you ever done that? You are in the situation so bad. No word can describe your heart. And you cry out to God, and the Holy Spirit within you start to intercede for you. God knows your heart, and he's directing that. So how do we really, truly pray? Not with a pretense or religiosity. Honest heart, broken spirit, and humility are the main ingredient of our true prayer. Not a fancy word or religious ritual. James 5:16 said that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You don't need a fancy word, this Christian jargon, to pray to God. Just simple, honest prayer that comes from your heart. As if you're talking to a friend. As if you're talking to your mentor. Just pray. That's all. Many people have a tendency to think that praying to God is some sort of a bargaining process, as if you are buying the car from the car dealer. So you write down something and they pass the bag and yeah, I got to go talk to the manager and come back with a, have you ever done that? You know, we've been there, right? And they increase the price more and more. Oh yeah, I forgot. You got to pay this. We cannot, listen, please. We cannot negotiate with God for what we want through our prayer. Nor can we change his mind to do what we want. Don't ever say in your prayer that, Lord, if you do this for me, I will do, go to church every Sunday. You're going to skip the church Sunday. Or maybe you will even stop this. You cannot negotiate with the non-negotiable God. Are you with me on that? He is ultimate God. He is the one true God. And you cannot negotiate with him. And it is the place where we can come to adore him as our God, saying, your will be done. Some denomination pastor said this, don't ask for God's will. Tell him what you want. Like, whoa, make sure I don't stay in the same room with you. Go to verse 11, please. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when you take the census of his children of Israel for their numbers, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord. When you number them, that there may be the no plague among them, then when you number them. This is what everyone among those who are numbered shall give. Half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is a 20 gerahs. The half shekel shall be on the offering to the Lord, everyone including among those who are numbered. From the 20 years old and above shall give an offering to the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel. When you give an offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourselves, and you shall take atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of meeting, that it may be the memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for yourselves. Stop, please. censers. Remember, if you remember that in 2 Samuel last chapter, 22, I believe, King David woke up one morning. I don't know if he actually said this way. Hey, General Joab, go out and count all the people in the land of Israel. And General Joab said, my Lord, please don't do that. Because they were told not to censor, not to count people's head. Because counting people's head would make two things. Either they get not depending on God, and their pride stocks up. And they'll pump up the pride. Listen carefully, please. Counting numbers of the people is taking ownership of the nation. Israel does not belong to Israel. Israel belongs to God. And King David was trying to do that. What is the consequences of the counting numbers of the people? 70,000 people died in plague. It's easy for us to think about the ransom money as connecting with the kidnapped person. It is deeper than that. That I looked at the definition. It says the definition of the ransom is a means of deliverance or the rescue from the punishment for a sin, especially the payment of the redemptive fine. Payment for the redemptive fine. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. Amount of this ransom money for our individual is half shekel. Rich were not to give more, the poor not to give less. It means that all souls were basically equally precious in the sight of God. There's no difference. Outward circumstance could affect the state of the soul. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Rich die and without carrying anything in their pocket. Poor people die and without carrying anything in their pocket. We all must be redeemed by the same price that was paid by Jesus on the cross. Amen? Verse 17, please. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying that you shall also make a laver of the bronze, with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of the meeting and the altar. You shall put water in it, and for Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it. Then they shall go into the tabernacle meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord. They shall wash with the water, lest they die. And they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. It shall be the statute forever to them, to him and his descendant, and throughout their generations. According to Exodus chapter 38, I'm sure we're going to find it later, Israelite women donated their bronze mirror to make this bronze laver. Do you know what is it? What it means? It's far more than the guys giving up their golf club and the fishing poles. To women, having a mirror is precious, isn't it, ladies? Yes, no. When was the last time you looked at the mirror, right? Before we came. Let me ask you this. Are you willing to give up your precious things for the Lord? Some of you guys, oh, of course. Don't be fast on answering it. Let me ask you this. Can you give up 20 minutes in a day, every day? And you're thinking, oh, I am trapped. Yes, you are trapped. You said you are willing to give up something for the Lord that is precious from you. If you can give up that 15 to 20 minutes of your time to do your daily devotion and read the Bible, pray, 15, 20 minutes, honest goodness. What is the return on investment of that? Intimate relationship with God. So the return on investment is that great. Why would you not give up the 15 to 20 minutes? You tell me. We don't. Lord did not specify the size or the shape of this lever and the instruction how to carry to the new location. With no water in the tabernacle, and the priest's feet would get dry. No floor. That means they're walking on dirt. Not only that, all day long, remember this, guys. The priest is supposed to wear the white linen. And from the morning until evening, they kill the animals. All the blood will be squashed on themselves. And then they cut the intestine, all that thing. I know, I just grossed you out. The oil and the blood will be on their hands and their feet. Am I making sense to you? Somebody had to clean. That means they are defiled with a dead animal. And so God says, wash your hands, wash your feet with the laver. Is it possible to be defiled while we are serving the Lord? The laver illustrates the cleansing power of God's word. One of the biggest problems modern church has is a body odor. And some of you are thinking, no, it's a spiritual body odor. People come through the door, come to church without asking God to forgive their sins. Yesterday, in the morning, husband and wife might argue, and they come to church. Or they may sin against them before, and they come to church. Confessing individual sin as a lip service is not good enough to God. Are you with me? If they are serious enough to confess our sins to the Lord, we should be serious enough to turn away from our sins and start to walk in the path of God. God does not accept our worship and service until it comes from the cleansed heart, not defiled heart. How do we get to have a cleansed heart? Through the cleansing power of the Word of God. Verse 25. We shall not make from this holy anointing, and you shall make from this holy anointing an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be holy anointing. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of the meeting, the ark of testimony. The table is all its utensil. Lampstand is utensil. Altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils. And the laver and its base. And you shall consecrate them and that they may be most holy. Whatever touch them must be holy. And you shall anoint the Aaron and his son and consecrate them. And they may minister to me as a priest. You shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be holy anointing oil to me throughout your generation. It shall not be, I want you to underline verse 32, please. It shall not be poured on the man's flesh, nor shall you take any other like it according to its composition. It is holy, it shall be holy to you. Whoever compound any like it, or whoever put any of it on its outside, shall be cut from his people. Stop, please. This holy anointing oil represents the Holy Spirit, of course, not to be duplicated or desecrated by the common use. It could only be poured on the priest. The common people could not use this special ointment. I ask you to underline verse 32. This shows the work of the Holy Spirit is never to be imitated with our own effort. There is to be no place for the encouraging fleshly imitation of the gift or the operation of the Holy Spirit. And you may say, what are you talking about? When I was a baby Christian, Karen and I were attending, our family was attending this charismatic church. Four Square Church. To them, speaking in tongue was extremely important. Any of you guys have a background of a charismatic church? To them, this is it. You've got to have a speaking in tongue, gift of speaking in tongue. And if you don't, they kind of look at you like you're a third class citizen. Some people say you must make some sort of noise. If somebody has, actually I heard it from somebody, start to make a noise with your mouth. And God will put your word in your mouth and you'll start speaking in tongue. In other words, you are forcing God to give you the gift. They ain't gift. That's a tax. You are forced to give something to government, so that's a tax. Gift is a gift to giver's discretion, isn't it? Yes, no. So it's up to him to give me the gift. If he chooses to give me the gift of the speaking in tongue, that's up to him. I do have a gift of speaking in tongue. I don't know what I'm talking, what kinds of noise I'm making, but I know it's the tongue. I do not have the interpretation of tongue. So in front of other people, I keep my mouth shut. When I pray all by myself, sometimes I speak in tongue aloudly. Folks, don't try to duplicate speaking in tongue when you don't have. If God chooses to give it to you, he will give it to you when he wants you to have. Good example, Dr. Billy Graham. Would you say he's a born-again Christian? Maybe. Yes, no. That man never had the gift of speaking in tongue. So the gift of speaking in tongue is not part of the salvation requirement. Are you with me? Don't ever think that some denomination requires, so it must be true. No. Also, we went to after that church, we joined the Assembly of God and we were sent to the home mission church in downtown Tucson. There was one guy, you know, you are already in a charismatic church, but this guy is a charismatic on steroid. He did weird things, and then he put the blame on the Holy Spirit. I don't remember. Oh, yeah, you do remember. A lot of Christians, charismatic Christians, do the strange things, and they put the blame on the Holy Spirit. No, I'm not going to go into that thing. Never mind. Move on. Verse 35. You shall make of this an incense, compound according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. And you shall beat some of it very fine, and put some of it before the testimony of the tabernacle of the meeting, where I will meet with you. You shall be most holy, it shall be most holy to you. But as for the incense which you shall not make any for yourself, according to its compound, it shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people. Now, the incense, get this, guys, the incense was a secret formula, long since lost. And it was not to be duplicated or replaced like a holy anointing oil. You may have seen, you may have been in this worship service impressed by the very talented worship leader or the musicians. But other than the impressive performance, we have to ask ourselves, have we actually had a close encounter with God? I'm asking you. Have you had the encounter with God? During the worship, it's great. They played well. They sang well. But did you have an encounter with God, or did you just sing a song? If you just sang a song because you knew the lyric, then you really did not get into the worship. Am I making sense? You come here to worship the Lord first and to hear from him. If you walk out the door, you didn't feel any closer to him, and you didn't hear from him, guess what? You just waste an hour and a half. If that's you come here just to have that check mark your social thing, do me a favor, don't come. That's a strange passage to say, don't come. I want you to come here with the expectation to hear from him and to have that close encounter with him by worshiping him. I'm not talking about emotional hype that goes away with the ooh and ah to the musicians. I'm talking about enrapturing time of personal worship because the simple and distinctive presence of the Holy Spirit. This can happen anywhere with or without the fancy worship leaders. It's a matter of an individual worshiper's heart. We're going to sing one more song after my teaching. I want you to put your heart into it. Are you with me? Think about the lyrics that you sing. Put yourself into it. A number of words in the Bible translate worship. One means to bow down and pay homage. The other one is literally means to kiss toward. It's a word that conveys the idea of reverence. And so putting these two words together, we can get an idea of worship is and what it should be. We worship our God because He is worthy. Did we not sing that? And in doing so, we bow down and pay homage to Him. It speaks of the reverence toward and the respect for God. And we also kiss toward Him, which speaks of the tenderness and intimacy. God wants us to revere Him and to honor Him, to be obedient to Him. At the same time, He wants the tender mercy in our worship. Am I making sense? Yes? Some of you are thinking, yeah, just say yes so He can go on to finish this thing. I'm hungry. Verse 1, chapter 31. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, that, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, and the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels, for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. Do you know what I got out of from this one? Get this, guys. God does not call someone who is capable. God calls someone who is willing to be used by Him, and He equipped that person, give ability by filling that person with the Holy Spirit. In other words, whom God called, He equips. Did you get that? As long as you are willing to be used by God, when He calls you to a certain place, He will take care of the rest. And you may say, well, that person cannot play guitar. How do you know? God equipped that person. He might be able to play better than the Segovia. Segovia, in case you don't know who that person is, a classical guitarist, world-renowned guitarist. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath, get this, guys, speak to the children of Israel. Okay? Are you with me? Yes, no? Did He say to the children of all the nations? Did He say that? Children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation. And you may know that I am the Lord who sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore it is holy to you. Everyone who profane it shall surely be put to death. And for whatever does any, whoever does any work on it, that a person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, and seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For 6 days, the Lord has made the heavens and earth. And the earth, and for the seventh day he rested, was refreshed. And when he had made an end of the speaking with him on the Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of testimony, tablet of stone written with the finger of God. Wouldn't you like to see that? Especially the process, better than drill. Sabbath was not given to the Gentile nations, guys, but only to Israel as a sign of their special relationship to the Lord. As I was putting this together, I thought about one family from our church previously. Great family. Great family. And before they left our church to go to the, I think it's Ohio, because of his job, he asked me, should we observe the Sabbath, Saturday? So I said, no, it's the Lord's Day, Sunday. And he said, we should do more, that we should follow this kind of ritual, that kind of ritual. So I said, no, that's already done by the Lord. Later, I found out that he became a Judaizer. He converted to Judaism because he lacked the rituals. Why would you deny Jesus Christ? It's beyond me. Because it appeased his religious mindset. Sabbath, let me say this, and we'll say it again. Sabbath was for the Israel. It's a covenant between God and the Israeli people, not the Gentiles. We often say that something cannot be changed because it is written in stone, right? The Ten Commandments was written in stone. No matter what the United States Supreme Court says and their decision says, it doesn't matter. God's word overrides. Three applications for you. Number one, we should worship God because he is always worthy of our praise. Second application. To really worship the Lord, we must ignore our own pride and self-image, but submerge into his presence. Thirdly, God wants us to revere him, to honor him, and to be obedient to him. But at the same time, he wants tender intimacy in our worship. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.